Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of his word. Come sit with us.
In that familiar and often quoted passage of scripture, in Job chapter 5, verse 7, we are reminded that the natural result of the flames of a fire are sparks and embers that rise up from those flames into the sky. And we are told there that in the same way, the natural result of the circumstances and of the events in our lives, our affliction. There's pain, there's trouble, since we are all full of sin and we live in a world that is full of sin. So like sparks from the flames of a fire, our sin rises up into the sky. It rises up beyond the sun and the moon and the stars, and it rises up into the third heaven, into the very presence of God, to his very throne, to what 1 Kings 8:27 calls the heaven of heavens. So what do we have to boast about? Without Christ, we all stand guilty before the God of the heavens. We are all children of the flames. And if we belong to Christ, what do we have to boast about? All that we are and all that we do that has eternal value is because of him. But the Apostle Paul tells us in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that in this case, because of the situation in the church in the city of Corinth, because of those false teachers who have come into the church there and have elevated themselves, claiming that they are servants of Christ, and to make matters worse, the people there have bought into their lies. Because of all of that, Paul says, I find that boasting on my part is necessary to combat those lies. Though boasting, he concedes in verse 1, is not profitable. Sumphero in Greek. It is not useful. Nothing can be gained by it. So, reluctantly, Paul says, I will go on to speak about visions, optasia in Greek, about supernatural experiences. And I'll speak about revelations of the Lord, apocalypsis, about the unveiling of heavenly things, things that I have experienced. Well, now perhaps he got their attention, because to many of the Greek people at that time, visions and revelations were the evidence that the person who had received that vision spoke for God and represented him. And some still believe that today, don't they? And in the book of Acts, we are told about some of those visions and some of those revelations of Paul. You will recall, first of all, that while he was on the road, traveling to the city of Damascus, And while he was still an enemy of Jesus Christ, Jesus spoke to him in a blinding light, in a light that was brighter than the sun. And on that day, he called Paul to himself. Then there was the time, one night, in the city of Troas. And Paul had a vision of a man from the province of Macedonia. And this man was pleading with Paul to come over there and to help them. So Paul went into Macedonia to preach the gospel to the people in those cities. Also, there was another time, another night in the city of Corinth that the Lord appeared to Paul and he told him not to be afraid, but to boldly preach the message of salvation to the people in that city because he said, I will protect you from the fierce opposition that's confronting you. Well, then there was the time that Paul was praying in the temple in the city of Jerusalem. And we're told he fell into a trance. And the Lord warned him to flee from that city because he said that the Jews would not receive his testimony concerning Jesus as their Messiah. So he said, they will try to destroy you. And there was another night while Paul was being held as a prisoner by the Romans in Jerusalem. We're told the Lord stood at his side and he told Paul to take courage. He wouldn't die there, because he was to be a witness for the gospel in the city of Rome. And while he was on his way to Rome, on a ship in the middle of a storm in the Mediterranean Sea, the Lord told him that though the ship and the cargo would be lost, no one would lose their lives. They would all survive. And those visions, those revelations that had been given to Paul, were given to him primarily to encourage him, weren't they? And to hear about them would not benefit the people in the city of Corinth, would it? And in addition to that, those visions couldn't be verified by anyone, could they? Since they were given to Paul. And they might even lead to pride in the heart of Paul if he spoke about them. So Paul didn't share them with the people in Corinth. And truly, anyone can claim to have had a vision or a revelation that they claim has come from God, as many people still do today. But only the truth of the word of God is profitable and is useful for teaching and for reproof and for correction and for a training in righteousness, we're told in 2 Timothy 3:16. Only the word of his grace is able to build us up in the faith, it says in Acts chapter 20. Not visions, not revelations. What does straw have in common with grain, the Lord says in Jeremiah chapter 23. It is my word that is like a hammer that shatters the rock. But even though what Paul was about to relate was unverifiable, he relates it anyway. And what he has to say is so amazing. It is so remarkable. It is perhaps even more remarkable than all the other visions and revelations that he had before, as remarkable as they were, but they pale in comparison to what happened to him in this vision. And it was so incredible to him. It was so overwhelming. It was so sacred and holy that he refers to himself in the third person as if he is talking about someone else. And so he says in verse 2, I know a man in Christ, a believer, who 14 years ago, perhaps while Paul was in his hometown of Tarsus, he had an experience unlike any experience that he had ever had before. And whether he was in his physical body, he says, I don't know. Or whether he was out of his physical body and in the spirit, he says, I don't know that either. I do not know exactly how God accomplished this. God knows, but this much I do know. That such a man was caught up, harpazo in Greek. It is the same word that is used in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, to describe the snatching away of the church someday. Paul was snatched away into the third heaven, to the presence of God. He was transported to the throne of God himself. And I know this is true, Paul claims. I know that such a man, whether in his body or apart from his body, I don't know. God knows. But I know that he was caught up into the paradise of God, into his very presence, to a place that cannot even be described with words that are adequate. And I heard inexpressible words, he says, aretas in Greek, sacred words. Words that I understood, but words which a man is not permitted to speak at all. On behalf of such a man, will I boast? This man did nothing to deserve this experience. He did nothing to make it happen. But God chose for this to take place. So on my own behalf, I will not boast, except in regard to my own weakness, asthenia in Greek, in regard to my own frailty. Whatever has been accomplished through me has been accomplished because of the power of God, because of his grace. For if I do wish to boast, Paul says in verse 6, at least I shall not be foolishly boasting about a lie, like many people do, but I shall be speaking the truth. But enough, he says. I shall refrain from speaking any more about this. I rest my case, so that no one may credit me, so that no one may elevate me with more than he sees in me, with more than he hears from me. Don't look at the visions. Don't look at the revelations. Look at my life, Paul says. The true measure of a man or of a woman of God is not found in mystical experiences. The true measure is found in their lives. It's found in their obedience to Christ. It's found in their obedience to the truth of the Word of God. That's where we need to look. That tells the story. And because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations that were given to me, Paul says in verse 7, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me by God a thorn in my flesh. Scallops in Greek. A sharp stick. This sharp stick was given to me, keeping me in agony. It was a messenger of Satan, Paul says. God allowed the enemy to buffet me. Kalathizo in Greek. He allowed him to torment me. He allowed him to hit me in the face. He allowed the enemy to treat me harshly. But God used this affliction to keep me from exalting myself. The enemy tried to use it for evil, but God used it for good. Well, now concerning this affliction, Paul says in verse 8, and this may be of interest to us since we experience afflictions ourselves. Paul says, I prayed. And I prayed. And I prayed again. And I asked the Lord, I begged him 3 times that this painful thorn might depart from me. But instead of removing this affliction, what was the answer the Lord gave to Paul? Verse 9. He says, the Lord said to me, my grace, charis, my favor, my ability, my help for you is sufficient for you. Archeo in Greek. It is enough to sustain you so that you do not exalt yourself. For my miraculous power, my strength is perfected. Teleo in Greek. It is made manifest and seen in your weakness. Wow. Our weakness opens the door for the power of Christ to be revealed in our lives. So Paul says, rather than continuing to ask the Lord to take away this affliction, he said, I had a different perspective altogether. Amazingly, I rejoiced in it. So now, most gladly, he says in verse 9, I will boast about my weaknesses. Why? He says, so that the power of Christ might dwell in me. Episkeneo in Greek, so that it might overshadow me and it might rest upon me. Therefore, Paul concludes in verse 10, now I am well content. Now I am satisfied with my weaknesses. I am satisfied with afflictions, with insults, with violence against me. I'm content with distresses, with pressure that is being put upon me. I'm content with persecutions, content with being hunted down like an animal for Christ. I'm content with difficulties, with situations that seem to have no way out. It's quite a perspective, isn't it? All for the sake of Christ, he says. I'm content Because God has allowed these things, that his power might be seen in me. For when I am weak, he says, weak in my own strength, then I am strong with the strength of Christ in me. Even as the fire of affliction burns away the impurity of pride and of our self-confidence. So as we're told in James chapter 1, we are to consider it all joy. We are to rejoice when we encounter various trials and difficulties and afflictions. Not a popular perspective, is it? Knowing, James says, that the testing of our faith is producing something in us. It is producing endurance in us. So we are to let endurance have its perfecting result so that we might become more mature, so that we might be made more complete in the faith, lacking nothing, conformed to the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the God of the heaven of heavens. So through the tears, through the pain, through it all, again, I say with Paul, rejoice.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.